Good morning. What is your work in life? Work is on everyone's minds these days, whether they're thinking about retirement or what to major in to assure that they land a good job after college. I just got a job at William & Mary after searching for a full-time job for 3 years. So some of my work worries are over for now. But outside of the 9-to-5 office type of work, we all have other work to do. I work as a mom, trying to raise my daughter to be a good person. I work out, trying to keep myself healthy. And I work to be a supportive wife to my husband. Luckily, with the exception of going to the gym, I don't dread any of this sort of work. This spring, I had the opportunity to go on a UU service learning trip to Arizona and Mexico to learn about the work that's being done there. The trip was offered through an organization called Border Links, which I found while searching online for possible mission trips for our UU congregation. This trip focused on immigration issues and the lives of those living along the Arizona-Mexico border. Immigration, huh? That's a topic I didn't know much about. I eagerly signed up for the trip, renewed my passport, and flew off to Tucson. During my 5 days in the borderlands, I witnessed a lot of amazing work. We attended a session of Operation Streamline in the Tucson Federal District Court, where we witnessed 70 people who had been caught illegally crossing the border. They all pled guilty and were sentenced within about an hour. We went to nonprofit organizations in Mexico that helped feed and clothe their citizens. We ate lunch in a cement house with a family that had worked without documentation in the U.S. long enough to save money, come back to their homeland, and buy a house. All in all, it was a life-changing experience. Although I could talk for hours about the details of my trip, I want to concentrate today on some of the amazing work that I saw there. The first night that we were there, we met local high school and college students that belonged to an organization called Scholarships AZ. Because undocumented youth aren't U.S. citizens, they aren't eligible for grants, student loans, and most scholarships. In addition, because Arizona has passed several anti-immigrant laws, these students have to pay out-of-state tuition for college, even if they've lived in Arizona for years. These twins were part of this group. They graduated from high school in Tucson in the top 5% of their class, and they had just graduated, I believe, the night before they came to visit. If they were citizens, they would have earned full scholarships to any public school in Arizona simply because of their GPAs. But since they are undocumented, they will be attending community college at out-of-state rates. Both of them want to be engineers like their dad, and have been involved in gifted and talented programs since fifth grade. They shared with me that one of their biggest problems was trying to find a way to explain to their friends why they were attending community college instead of university. Their friends didn't know they were undocumented youth. I have no doubt that they will find a way to be successful despite the obstacles that they're facing. I admire them for joining Scholarships AZ and for working to help other undocumented youth achieve their goals. Another person I met on the trip was Jeanette, who started an organization called APOC. APOC stands for Hogar de Esperanza y Paz, Home of Hope and Peace, and functions as a community center on a hill in dusty Nogales, Mexico. Nogales, Mexico, and Nogales, Arizona used to function as one large community. But when the border wall was erected, they were forced to exist as separate communities. A unique situation was created in Nogales, Mexico, as many families saw the fathers move to the U.S., leaving the mothers alone with the children. Women are now the majority in Nogales, and many of them work at factories along the border from 5:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., 6 days a week. Children then are left at home, alone for much of the day. And with school only lasting a half day and not providing lunch, there was a need in the community. Jeanette realized that they had to stop waiting for someone to help them and needed to help themselves instead. Through APOC, she works to feed 120 children every day, offers adult education classes to 445 people in Nogales, runs both summer and winter camps when children are out of school, and she started a women's cooperative that teaches women skills to make and market their own artwork, of which my pendant is one. Jeanette works tirelessly for her community, and I felt privileged to be able to spend time with her in her inspiring community center. Back in Arizona, we met an amazing woman named Shura. She has worked for justice her entire life, including working at Planned Parenthood in New York City, running food banks in Berkeley, and more recently retiring to Green Valley, Arizona. When she arrived there, she was horrified to hear stories of migrants crossing the desert near her retirement community and trudging onto a local golf course begging for water. She and some others in the area formed a group called the Samaritans. In the year 2011, the bodies of 192 people who died trying to cross the desert were found on the Arizona side of the border. Shura and her organization try to combat these deaths by talking to people about the dangers of the desert, bringing water and medical attention to people they find in the desert, and calling 911 in a medical emergency. We spent time at Shura's kitchen table looking at the migrant belongings she has picked up after they've been discarded in the desert. Baby bottles, keys, water containers, bags in which people were made to carry drugs across the border. Chills ran down my arms as Shura pointed out a purse that contained high heels and makeup, and told a story in which the purse's owner would have made it successfully through the desert and dressed up in fancy duds to reunite with her loved ones. Going out into the desert with Shura was one of the eeriest experiences I've ever had. The silence and the heat were overwhelming, but somehow I felt myself called deeper and deeper into the mesquite trees away from the group. I got so far ahead of them that several times they called me back. I somehow felt eyes all around me and kept my eyes open for someone who needed help. Once I heard a noise and Shura called out, "Somos amigos, we are friends," but it was just a jackrabbit. Although we saw lots of discarded water bottles, backpacks, and jackets, we didn't see any people. Later that evening, I thought about the eyes I felt watching me and wondered if it was the spirits of people who had crossed through the area, thanking us for caring about their plight. If I could have picked up and moved to Green Valley to help Shura in her work, I would have done it then and there. Finally, on the last morning of our experience, we had the incredible opportunity to help serve breakfast to homeless people, most of whom were undocumented workers, at Southside Presbyterian Church in Tucson. This church has an incredible social justice history. The pastor, John Fife, helped start the sanctuary movement in the 1980s, which allowed undocumented migrants to sleep on the floor of the church. Fife even posted banners outside the church reading, "This is a sanctuary for the oppressed of Central America," and "Immigration, do not profane the sanctuary of God." Fife, along with others, were tried and found guilty in 1986 of providing help to illegal aliens. However, their sentences were small, and the church continues its work today. The church serves breakfast and provides showers and clothes to homeless people every Monday and Friday. About 100 people are served each day. There were many neat parts of this experience. One was that the homeless people did so much work behind the scenes. Several of the guys acted as ambassadors, preparing food for breakfast, showing people where the showers were, and helping with the day laborer program that's run out of the parking lot. Another neat thing was the church itself. It was so incredibly multicultural. The beams of the ceiling are made of saguaro cactus ribs. There's a statue depicting the creation story of the local Indians, the Tohono O'odham, and they sing songs in English, Spanish, and the Indian language. In fact, this church does so much work with migrants that they were once infiltrated by a federal agent who was working as a mole. The thankfulness in the eyes of the men and women who shakily held their plates as I put breakfast on them is unforgettable. This was the first time I had worked in a homeless shelter. And again, if I could have picked up and moved right then, I would have. I even daydreamed about how I could serve the food and my husband Pryor, who's a probation and parole officer, could counsel the men and women while I was serving the food. He could use his experience working with homeless people in Williamsburg in Arizona too, right? At the end of our experience, we were asked to think about what we were going to do with the information that we had learned. Isn't that always the question? Several of the UUs on my trip were involved in religious education, which gave them a great opportunity to share their experiences. But I was left to wonder, what kind of work can I do to help the amazing people that I met in the borderlands? Naturally, I leaned toward education rather than entrepreneurship or some other vehicle in which to present my experience. I gave a presentation about my trip to the anthropology classes that I teach at West Point High School and Rappahannock Community College, and I'm glad to be able to share it with you today. Everyone has work to do. Work can be done in a direct way or in a more indirect manner. It can be done in the field, from an armchair, or over the phone. Today, I want to leave you with this thought. What is your work? Not just your job, but your work.